The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Some of us have great stories. Noodle salad, good. Pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and good. Noodle salad, boats and friends and good. Noodle salad. But a lot of people, that's their story. Noodle salad, boats and friends and boats and friends and good times. Noodle salad, noodle salad. That's their story. Noodle salad, noodle salad, noodle salad. What makes it so hard is not that you had it bad, but noodle salad, good. Good, good. That's their story. Noodle salad.
Woke man Jack on the Hallelujah Trail.
The Hallelujah. 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 Trail.
Franco Tolo makes me smile. Franco Tolo makes me dance.
Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Tolo.
Ladies and gentlemen of Earth, we have come many, many light years to bring you great gifts. Gifts such as Credulium. Credulium is a machine which, when you are inserted, will break down your molecular structure and then transport you to all wonderful places throughout the universe. Carbellum. Carbellum? Yes, carbellum is a way in which, when you are injected, you can live forever. Selenium. Once this is inserted into your body, you can run many, many miles, or light years, or lift very heavy objects, tons and tons and tons of them. You could build your own pyramid. Have you any questions for me?
Yes, sir, I have a question.
Yes, you.
What's that terrible spell?
My what? Oh. I defecate. Well, I defecate the soup. It's a long trip, so I defecate my soup. We have many, many soups. So we clean them quite often. Well, that's why we carry the roses on our... Yes. We smell that and we don't smell each other. Yes.
Why didn't you use the toilet?
What?
The toilet.
Yeah. What's a toilet?
You sit on it. It's where you go to the bathroom.
You sit on it? And defecate in it? Where would it go?
It goes into the water, then you flush it, and it goes into the sewer.
Into the sewer? What's a sewer?
The sewer takes it to the ocean in underground tunnels.
Really? The water and out to the sewer? That is unique. That's amazing. Yeah. Gotta get one of those. What did you call it? Room again? That room?
Yeah. And you can take a shower, too. I can't take this anymore.
Never heard of these things. Toilet, bathroom, shower? Wait a minute. Tell you what. Show me one of these. I'd like to take one back with me. Toilet and shower.
Mm-hmm.
The Frank is on. The Frank is on. The Frank is on. The Frank is on.
You're kidding. The donut lady has other stuff, too. The donut lady has napkins. I'm scared as hell.
And now, on with the show.
Now? From
song
New
York. Was written by Fred Ebb and John Cantor.
Shut up! I'm talking now, Frank. Let's sing this together, you and me.
Don Costa. And stolen.
He's dead too. Move on.
Start spreading the news.
This is dedicated to my hometown.
I am leaving today.
But not quick enough.
I want to be a part.
Oh, I got it. I can make sure he's
New York, New York.
Oh, he's gonna improvise.
He is.
He's vagabond.
Vagabond blues.
They are longing to stray.
You got a live version here, and he's got this thing in his voice.
I am.
The very heart of it.
I go like
New York, New York. I want to wake up in a city that never sleeps. And find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap. My little town blue.
Come on, everybody, you know the words.
They are melting away.
Melting away.
I'm gonna make a brand new start of it in old New York.
And
if I can
make it there,
I'll make it anywhere. It's up to you.
F up. It's night. It's Hallelujah Trail night. It's me, the Bard of Broadcasting. The boss. And the third man, the original third man, Orson Welles' third man. I am your only chance to survive the next 2 hours. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of this show. It's a special show because it's going to bring back some wonderful things about someone that too little people care about. Plus, Brock, La Rob will do it with me. Stay here. Stay with me, would you? Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello comes the mic a little closer, a little louder. It's me, and I'm here live in the middle of a transformation of seasons. A transfer of seasons? No, a bridge of the bridges of San Luis Rey. No, the bridge over troubled waters, the bridge over... It's me, your bridge. I'm the only reason you can survive in the next 2 hours. And I know people who will debate that. I know people who will disgust of that. I know people who won't discuss that at all. I am here. Want to thank all of you who are here on the live stream. If you're listening and it's not Thursday evening and or Friday morning in other time zones, or earlier Thursday in other time zones, or and Friday in other time zones, then you are listening on one of the great stations that run this show after we do it live. But right now, it always sounds live. It always sounds live, and it's here, and the Vegetable Man is here for you. I am the godfather of internet radio. Before me, there was just the eternal silence. The silence in cyberspace. The place where nobody could hear you scream or type LOL. And we're going to try to get through this summer with a considerable amount of visitors on the show. I told you a while back, if you listen to each show, if you didn't listen to each show, let's do this right now. Because give you an idea what's coming up. If you haven't seen the blog, CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. We're going to talk about Chuck McCann, who passed away at 83 to 88. Some in that range of ages. And a lot of people go like, who? Because you're younger. But if you're younger, you should know, and you will know more about him. And I'm going to talk to bringing Brock LaRob back from his wherever he is now, from his hiatus from this show, because he's done on all the time. And he's going to talk because he was a very big Chuck McCann fan. He and I grew up not with Chuck. We didn't go out and play handball with him or make crazy sounds or what have you, but you should know about this guy. And I was, a couple of shows ago, I said, I cannot believe that there's no viral feeling. There's no one's talking about. Chuck died. He did go gently into that good night. And, I always liked Chuck McCann, and I'm going to talk about him and my encounter with him. And Brock is going to talk about being a New Yorker, where Chuck McCann was very popular when in the 60s. In New York television. And remember, that's still the number one market. So it's not like, Chuck McCann wasn't on the little rinky-dink station in Casper, Wyoming. Not that there are rinky-dink stations in Casper, Wyoming. I don't know. So there's that. And as I said, throughout the summer, listen to this, because I've been thinking about this here and there. I told you that we brought back our Kentucky Derby show last week, and I think everybody was wrong, but it doesn't matter because we all wanted, anyway, we're not going to go into that. It's just one of those things we do, and it's fun even if you don't know or like or care about the Kentucky Derby. Coming up, so that's Dusty Nathan will be back again. He's one of the people who will be back, and on a number of things we could talk about, Dusty should not just come back for talk about horse racing and horses and sports. I don't like to talk about sports anyway, in general. So he'll be back with any number of things that, I like. Boom. I'm distracted very easily, even on my own show, because my own show in itself is a distraction. And the only thing that's going to get you to survive the next 2 hours. Also, the Artist D is going to be here to talk about some things the Artist D is doing and also about some various topics. Because every once in a while, aside from the end of the year when we do talk about all the dead people, D comes on and we'll be here. So there's that. I told you, now 7 is going to come back. Everybody you guys who know, 7, talk about all things internet. Wonderful stuff, 7. One of the original people to ever talk over internet radio. So he broadcast. Didn't have a show or anything. Later on he had a show, but in the beginning. So he was with me at Ampcast way back. He was at Ampcast before I was there. But he was after Cal Malamud, I believe, Carl Malamud, I believe was his name, the first man ever to have a show that was 5 minutes and nobody listened to it. Because nobody knew it. Nobody could get on there, you know? Seven will be back. Jay Izzo was a great guest. We had him here. He's a motivational talker. He's a speaker. He makes websites and gets people to put their products on it. You know, he's a cool guy. Cool guy. Jay Izzo. And he will be, might be wearing one of his big cowboy hats at the same time. Who knows? Ben Knoll is a comic who had, was on here a couple of years ago. And here and there, I said, hey, Ben, you know, he lives in the area here, so he could actually be here live, which would be fun. Or we can get him on Skype if he can't get here. And then a mystery guest. I have a mystery millennial person trying to get on, has already agreed to be on here, to really talk about this millennial thing and what's after the millennials. There's already another one, isn't there? Well, we're going to go into that. It's going to be fun. And Charles Dennis will be back. He's been very busy and all over the world. So, you know, what do you know? He'll be back. Any number of things that will be happening. I'm planning another show, which I think should be really fascinating sometime at the end of May or June, which I'll tell you about more when time goes on. So you see, there's, and I'm not going to do that. You know, this is not like the Seth Meyers late night, where every night it opens the same way, right? And he sits there, and I'm Seth Meyers, this is late night, how's everybody doing tonight? You know, I like Seth, but it doesn't matter. He doesn't have to like me. It doesn't matter. I like him. It doesn't matter. You know, but I'd be opening the show the same way every night. In that case, you know, you just want people to go. And then he continues. He'll tell you what the show is like. And he goes, so you're hearing a great night. Well, they're all great nights. And I am so anti this and anti that, right? It's a shame. Some people, I can't tell you how many people I have turned off just by being me. But I guess that's the big lesson, if there is a lesson at all. Now, I also remind you to, and I thank you people who have been writing to me at fcatolo@yahoo.com and saying, I saw this particular show you did a couple years ago. Why don't you do it again or play it again? You could go to catolochronicles.blogspot.com. Go on the left, you see a list of years. Dates of years, not yet, years, like 2005, 2009, 2010, 2011. And if you go to any one of those dates, you'll find out there's a little blurb, even though there are other blurbs. We used to put a lot of stuff on the blog, but of course we have moved on to other stuff. And you can get something every week, original from moi at 148.ca/Frank. No joke about slash Frank. But if you go to the blog and you click one of those years, you will get a list of from that, all the months of that year, every Thursday, at least, and it'll tell you, well, you read it, it'll tell you, it doesn't talk, you can read who was on or what we, what topic we covered on that show, that date, that year. If I can find it in the archives, chances are I can, too. Now, I just have to do a little legwork, but that's all right. For you, I do it. And what I do is I will play a, not a complete rerun, but parts of those particular shows that people have requested. It's all it takes. And we're going to insert that into a show where I don't have a guest. So there's three kinds of shows. There's the show that repeats, I don't want to say repeats, it reboots, no, it doesn't reboot either. It plays old parts, sections of old shows that people have requested. That's one. The second show is a show that has a guest, like tonight. Brock LaRobe is here, and he's not here. I mean, he'll be here, and we'll be talking to him. And then three is just me, as Kurt Brando, who also will be back, as Kurt Brando coined my solo shows many years ago, the drum solo version. Cthulhu Chronicles, because it's like he likened my voice to a drum solo, of course, which does, you know, is in between music, in between the, well, you know, it's a guy on the drums and no other music, that's it. And he goes that way and this way and that way, dynamics and splashes and quiet and beat, beat, tink, beat, beat. And that happens too. So all these things. Oh, and one more. In the guest department, remember three types of shows. In the guest department, that is Tom Savino, who, if you listen on the live stream or on a station that plays Savino Veritas after my show or any time during the day or night, he will be back on the show. Along with Tom Martin, who's another college friend of mine and ours. Two Toms and me. Known as the Three Amigos. We stole that, yes. Because we're three friends. So we say, we should call ourselves Amigos de Tres. Tres, can't say Tres Amigos. Because the three would come after in Spanish. Amigos de Tres? No, wait a second. I don't know if they do that with the adjectives that way. I'll have to look that up again. Sometime, somewhere, someday, when I remember it. I have coffee and a mic. I have coffee and, of course, so those are the things you have to look forward to. So you're having a great night. How's everybody doing tonight? I don't know. Things annoy me, and I express those things on the show. And it's not like I don't do this live in person. But if I'm ever on the Seth Meyers late night show, I may mention it. Unless my agent threatens me. There's so many things I want to talk to my audience, what's left of you, through these years, and eventually I will, for as long as I'm here. I'm not going to leave you. If I leave this show, I'm not going to leave you because I can't do it anymore. I'm going to leave you because I want to leave you. As I was told by many a woman. The hell's that? So don't worry about any of that. This is an existential experience. Remember, this is not like other shows. It's not a program because we do not plan what we're going to say, when we're going to say, and what we're going to do. It's a very randomly placed. It's an existential program. So we're going to do this. And we're going to talk about whatever we talk about and go wherever we want to go, starting with the topic, going with the topic. And I'm just going to be whoever I am. If we sat and had coffee together, and you could ask people who, go ahead. You want to ask people? I'll give you their Twitter addresses. You can ask these people, is this what it's like to sit in that coffee with Frank and have a discussion? What are the, you could be looking for, shows. As I said, I'll go back to that there for a second before we get to Brock. And that is, there's a show in 2008. Then my favorites too, you know, things I'd like to hear me do again because I can't do them twice. I don't write them down. If there were transcripts and I had to act them, I don't know what I could do. You know, there's another one. I got to get Michael Laskin back on the show. I'm so sorry. I keep telling people you're going to come back and then I disappear and then I got to go do projects and then this happens and that happens. I got to get him back on the show because last time he was on the show, he's a great actor and a great acting teacher. And he told me to write something because this is what he does with his students, you know what I mean? So I'm going to do something. But I'm so self-conscious as an actor. Because, I have a difficult problem acting, acting. I have a difficult problem becoming a character, which is funny because people say, you know, you're quite a character. Yeah, that's it. But I can't change that character. A Swiss chocolate maker, you know? I'm a cartoon. And you'd always go, you know who's doing that? It's Frank Cotullo. It's me, Frank Cotullo. March of 2008, we did a great show on luck. I did a great show, apparently, on luck. Let me see something someone asked. Oh, brain and music interpretations. Someone asked for that. That was 2011. I'm not going to mention your name, by the way, too, so don't be, unless you tell me to mention your name when you send me an email. Otherwise, I'm not going to because that's not, I don't have to. And you shouldn't have to, you know, if you're embarrassed or what have you. You know, wouldn't do it without your permission. What? Oh. No, there's no one here. I just said what to myself. Because I'm, I, you know, when you spend a lot of time by, on your own, by yourself, you do talk to yourself. And there's nothing particularly wrong with that. Okay, the roller derby. Did we, I did the roller derby, Mums, didn't I? I don't even remember. I didn't cross that out. Phil Margo was on here once, the guy who helped the write the Lion Sleep Tonight. Lion Sleeps Tonight. He was on. Did I ask for that one or did he? No, wait, I got another one here too. Comic Relief. Oh, Out of Africa. There was a show on April 21st about the email scam. I wish I could go back as far as possible, but it's not recorded when we broke that email scam news story. That was before there was such technology that we could record it. That's how far back. Pi Kim. I wonder how Pi Kim is doing. Oh, yes. Pi Kim, the American Geisha. That was 2007. The Gerald Edelman, this is one of my favorite ones, 2006 in February. Gerald Edelman, who's probably dead by now, his book about the brain. That was a great show because he's a great, you don't hear this kind of stuff anywhere else. So this is time capsule stuff. All right. May 4th, Mark Watts, okay, we don't have to go through this. You know what I'm talking about. You go look. I have my favorite, you have yours. You write to me, and you know, you don't just have to write to me about that. You write to me about anything, and I will respond accordingly. So we're here, and we're going to go get Brock LaRob and talk about Chuck McCann. It'll be fascinating to hear what Brock said, because Brock was, he's on a lot. When we talk about 60s and 50s TV, because he's a real connoisseur of the 60s and not just comedy, but the comedy of the dramas, you know, from those days when TV was an entirely different atmosphere. And he loves it. And so all the comedy, all the stuff and everything is... So it'll be fascinating because I don't know if we've ever talked to Brock about Chuck McCann, who's a, also Chuck, McCann comes from Brooklyn, New York. And that's where Mr. Brock was born, where I was born. He's younger than I am, but a lot of people find themselves in that state. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of this show, Cotolo Chronicles. And it's here for, well, 2 hours. Now, about another hour and a half. And it's not over until the fat lady suffocates. So you're hearing a great night. Oh, stop it, Frank. Let's get him. I'm the boss. Let me get. Oh, wrong one. Call where? Call. Hey, how come this is? Oh, do I have to use a video? I can't do. Yeah, call. Call Skype. Yeah, call Skype. God, it's weird. Skype is turning into some very strange and convoluted. Hello? It says it's connecting. It's turning into something else, as every program and application has done since the beginning of the internet. He's probably looking at the clock and he goes, hey, it's 2 minutes before, but I have no idea how his clock is, Oh, it failed. So he's gonna come by at, I know that's what's gonna happen. It's not like he wants to be here. He just is not here because, hey, where'd that go? Yeah, here. Okay. He will be here in another minute. Wow, is he precise? Go to Amazon, not now. Go to Amazon and I thank all the people who have gone to Amazon and continue to buy Sweet Shepherd, which apparently a serious book by me has been and continues to be the most popular book I have in a digital form that's out there. So the serious book, I think it's the only serious book there. Yes, because even Man of La Mancha, which is my version of Don Quixote, I like when people take books, other writers especially, people when writers take books and make them into, they just recast the characters, use the same themes and everything. If you go, if you like, go read the reviews. This is what I'm saying. Sweet Shepherd reviews, Man of La Mancha reviews, License to Skill reviews. Go read those reviews and buy the books. You get them on in your Amazon, and a drone brings it to you. No, it's not a drone. You get it from what? You get it from, I guess they send you a link. They send you a link and then you download it. And you could put it on, I don't know anybody has Kindles anymore. Does anybody have Kindles? I guess older people have Kindles. Is that the, baby boomers have Kindles and those things now? And Nooks? Still not there. And yet, you know, a lot of people, including me, no, not me. I mean, I only have one. A lot of people have many Skype addresses. And, I was gonna call Mr. Nosferatu. Let me try him, what if I try him here? Let's see if he's here. Maybe he's on this one. There's a, even though he sent me a text on another. Yeah, see, he's not there. No answer. He's not. He's at the other one. Where is recent? I gotta go to recent. Here he goes. Let's try him on this one. They have a different, accounts. In the old days, we all had like 10 Yahoo accounts back in the days of, I know a lot of you don't go back that far. Hey, how come farther means distance? Oh, now it's ringing. He got it there. See? So we know he's going to be there now. Let me go my microphone right. Oops. Jeez. I can't use my mouse left-handed. I don't know why he's in the East. Every time I've talked to him, he's been in where? Out there. The Midwest of the United States, not the... Well, he's connected. We know that because now he's... Dun, 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 dun. I told him 9:30 because in our world, it's 9:30. So I went on 9:28 and he wasn't there. This thing will ring forever here on Skype. This is Skype, and it keeps telling me, every time I go to Skype, it keeps telling me, you know, there's a new version. How many versions are there? What does it do? What does it do that's different? Okay, now it says no answer. So there, I'm hoping there's not a problem. Send an IM. What's an IM? Oh, an instant message. Hey, 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 hey. It could be any, it could be visiting somebody. And that's why, but I could start the show. I did start the show, and I will continue. At least it was ringing. Before it wasn't ringing. But the Skype thing, I don't, you know, ever since Microscope bought it, I don't keep track of this, who buys what, but there's like a couple of companies that have bought all the various places. I say place, I call it a place. It's an application. In the beginning, you couldn't do video. It was just Skype talk. And then it became video. Then it became, what is that? Oh, I see. Oh, I see. He could be in, I just saw it. I'm not going to give you that particular, state. Let's try it again while we're here. I'm going to play, you know, but in the beginning, I played in the collage a very rare Chuck McCann piece. Sometimes it's hard to hear those because they're on YouTube. Look at this. Now it's not ringing. Maybe someone's having a... Oh, now it says offline. All right, this is what we'll do. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Sometimes it's me and my Skype, and sometimes it's them and their Skype. And sometimes it's Skype and the Skype. Send a video message? No, I don't want my video on. You know, as sophisticated as this contraption, all the connections I have here that lets us do Cthulhu Chronicles, as sophisticated as it becomes, for instance, we've had problems this year, a lot of technical problems this year, and a lot of it had to do with the hard disk. I got a solid state hard, I didn't know they had that, but then they came out with solid state hard disks. Everything moves faster, and it's cleaner, and yet, I don't know, if it dies, everything dies, but everything, maybe it doesn't, maybe everything doesn't die, maybe that's a difference, okay, so it's been great since then. But when the motherboard went in the old days, it went completely, and then everything, it got lost. Now we back it up, and we use a carbonator. I said carbonator, carbonite. And they come up with new things, too. Carbonite comes up with stuff that says, you know, they said, we can put 7 computers onto this and save everything. But they do, and they are a great place. I'm not doing a commercial other than the fact that I'm endorsing it because I've crashed a number of times, and thank goodness I had Skype. No, I had Carbonator. No, Carbonite. Isn't that the stuff that killed Superman? No, that was Kryptonite. Hightail. Why did they make sending the files? Funny, come Hightail. I forgot what it was called in the first place, right? Now it's Hightail. Where do they get these names that they change a name? I don't know. Now it says he's on, so let me call it again. Call Skype. I think he's having some problems, some connection problems, because it seems to me, is that it? Did someone pick up? No, here's that. You hear that in the back? That's the furnace. Or the farness. Because if it's distance, it's farness. If it's it's furnace for further and farness. Why don't they do it for all words with F-U-R? I have a far coat instead of a fur coat. It's definitely a problem. There's definitely a problem going on. See, because no one's picking up here. Brock LaRobe. We're getting a Brock LaRobe. You know, if you go to Amazon, check out his books too, but not under that name. Under Tom Nocerino. Nocerino. That's his writing name. Fiction. Now, sometimes you wonder if they pick it up. They don't pick it up. Online not picking it up. And you know that, I know Tom is, wants, you know, no answer, huh? Or try recalling. Video message or try, what is this? Add Skype credit. What the heck is this stuff? Now there's a thing here. Thing. By thing I meant a box. Online but not answering. So there must be a problem. There must be a problem. But that's okay. I'll do more commercials. No, you're talking about Chuck McCann. And I want to talk, I could do 2 hours on Chuck, you know, but I want to do it with Brock. What else can I tell you? Other shows or anything that I didn't tell you before? Books. I told you about books. I told you about, it's not like there's a lot of incredible things happening, because there aren't. Try again. Oh, see, it changes colors when he's online and offline. I think he's having a connection problem. He is connected. He has connected. Were you having a Skype problem?
Yes.
No longer. Listen, you're really coming in loud and clear.
Well, that's terrific. Thank you very much, my dear. I had my able assistant here. If it wasn't for her, I'd still be living in Brooklyn.
Well, you know, that's a big thing, man. That's a very good influence.
Well, I think she'd rather have me back in Brooklyn.
No, the furnace stuff, or the farness, as we call it. How are you?
You know, I'm great. How are you, Frank?
I'm fair to Midland, but at times great. You know, I'm fluctuating.
Well,
So are you.
You can
we're
all,
fluctuating one way or another, but it's great to have you back. And while I was waiting, I touted some of your books. I was touting my books on Amazon and various things. I touted some your books on Amazon. Okay. How's that?
Oh.
Oh, what?
What'd you think?
I touted them.
Well, thank you so much. You're great. And, it's, like I said, a little trouble getting started here, but,
It's all right.
You know, I was, gonna start with something that, I think is very endearing, to you and maybe a lot of our, ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls out there. Just to start with, hold it. I think you're gonna like this picture. Remember that?
You know, we have to annotate so much on this show because we've, in 20 years, I've had audiences turn over, you know?
Yes.
And, a lot of the, baby boomers, who would know some of the things that we mentioned, don't know anymore because we have millennials, we have, ones before that, what was that, I don't know, whatever generation that might be. And they don't know a lot of the stuff. What I do is tell them to keep a composition book with them or anything they could write down. And then later on, they go to their search engine and look up these things because, you know, they have the great library of YouTube where they yes. and search engines where they could find out. But you are going to like this. But I'm glad you brought that up, too, because the very mention of Chuck McCann, as I was telling everyone, a lot of people ask me in town, you know, what are you doing this week? Which is just, they're just being kind because,
yes.
yeah, you know, really, because they're not going to listen, most of them, but they, so I tell them and this week I said, oh yeah, an author and good friend of mine, we're going to talk about, Chuck McCann, who recently passed away. And they went, oh, I'm sorry. Was he related to you? I know Chuck McCann. You never heard it? Never, nothing. They know nothing. And well,
that's terrible.
It is. And I noticed that there, the day or the couple of days afterwards on Twitter, there wasn't a lot. Here and there, there was somebody who knew of him, but there weren't a lot of people. And the shame of that is that there weren't people who he worked with. I mean, I can't say I didn't look at everything, but I mean, you know, when someone dies, all of a sudden, even on Facebook, someone dies and holy Christmas, the pictures, the things, the words on an RIPs, you know?
Exactly.
Hey, what is that? Da-da, what is that? Was that your, is that an idea coming?
I've got guess.
That sound your brain makes when you have an idea?
Actually, you should have seen, if you could see it, you should have saw the bubble, the light bulb went on over my head.
Okay. What? What?
Yeah, when you heard that, the light bulb over my head went up.
Light bulb? What? So
I had an idea.
Let's go from the beginning, and then there's a bunch of things we can talk. We have plenty of time to talk about it. I played something in, do a collage at the beginning of the show, and I played something I had never seen before. It was a little film. Maybe you saw it. Probably later on in Chuck's career, when he plays a man from outer space. Did you ever see that? And he's in front of a big flying saucer.
This is coming back to me.
And he's
because I just got a picture of he was Mr. Backwards. And
right. But
he was in front of a spaceship.
Yeah, he's in front of a spaceship and he's talking. He's saying that they've come to Earth and brought these great machines and these wonderful things that Earthlings, an injection that will make Earthlings live forever, something that can make them strong so they can lift anything, right? And then I'd never seen this thing. It's hard to describe how he's dressed up because he's always the greatest makeup, funny type thing, but he's just an alien, but he's him with stupid glasses. And then there's a whole bunch of reporters and people there, and someone's said, do you have any questions? And then a reporter goes, yeah, what's that smell? And he says, he says, I defecated in my suit. And the whole brunt of the whole joke is that they said, why didn't you go to the bathroom? And he's going, the what? And so he brings all this sophisticated stuff to Earth and Earthlings. and he doesn't know how to, they, and then he goes, we have suits. We just change our suits. He doesn't know what a toilet is, a bathroom. He doesn't understand how the feces goes into the water and then out in. It's really, I don't know if he wrote it or what have you, but it's very fun. I hadn't seen it, but the thing that's really great about that is that he, as I was saying, there's a number of tributes and, various clips from this, that, and the other thing, including Bunko Squad.
Yes.
On YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So some people took the time to put together a tribute.
Yes.
To Mr. McCann. Now, why don't you, take the mic here now for a second and talk about, you know, because you're a little younger than I am. I told everybody, you know, if you're in New York, you obviously remember him from back then because he started in the Top Market and right away.
Right away.
Yeah.
He started right away. Actually, he was originally billed him as a puppeteer because he made the voices of a lot of puppets. And he was on a show in the one of the first kid TV shows in the late 40s, early 50s, the Rudy Kazooty, Adventures of Rudy Kazooty.
I still remember that stupid name. And I say it to people and they don't know because they're all younger. And they went, what do you mean Rudy Kazooty? You know, it's like, oh, it's like nothing like, what's his name? It's nothing like, I forgot his name now. Yeah, go ahead, Tom. He was a voice on the Rudy Kazooty show, was he?
Yeah, and Rudy Kazooty, he wore a big baseball hat with the brim up all the time, and his nemesis was a rat, a puppet rat, tried to steal his kazoo.
Because Kazooty, I don't remember that much. Refresh me, yeah. I remember the name.
His girlfriend was Polka Dotty, and... And the rat also wanted to steal her polka dots because she wore this blouse that had polka dots on it. And the host of the show was a guy by the name of Todd Russell. And Todd Russell, he filled in for Joe Bolton with the three, because was the host of the Three Stooges show when Joe Bolton went out west to film one of those ridiculous Three Stooges movies. Mm. And so he needed a break, so. And he was under the guise of Fireman Todd Russell. But anyway, going back to that, he was the host of the Adventures of Rudy Kazooty.
Adventures.
And Chuck McCann did some of the voices. And of course, they were the Paul Ashley puppets. And you always associated Paul Ashley with Chuck McCann. And, Chuck McCann then, he was actually an innovative genius. He could do voices. I mean, tremendous voices. He came up with, like I said, I mentioned Mr. Backwards. That was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It was a skit where they ran the whole film in reverse.
Yeah, and so carefully planned that it worked as a forward, as if it was forward.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. And during the week, and of course he was big on locally in the tri-state area. In New York, as we were growing up in the 50s, he had a show during the week, and he had competition also. But the guy that really put the children's shows on the map was a guy by the name of Herb Sheldon. And Herb Sheldon would play a piano. He had something called the Mischief Makers, and they showed Looney Tunes cartoons. But Chuck McCann then extended that. Because they had the Chuck McCann show, Chuck McCann and Laurel and Hardy show, but then his, he always had the Paul Ashley puppets, but Chuck McCann was also on a show that was really popular, the Clay Cole show, which was a rock and roll show.
He was on the Clay Cole was a disc jockey back in, those days. He was on the Clay Cole show. I mean, he made appearances?
Appearances on the Clay Cole show, and sometimes he would do impersonations. And I remember he used to really like to impersonate the old actor Ed Wynn.
Hmm.
He used to imitate him. But once in a while, and Clay Cole for, a local station, he had the Rolling Stones on before Ed Sullivan.
Yes, he had the
Kinks on before Ed Sullivan.
Yeah. He needed all the help he could get, Clay Cole, because he had nothing.
It was, he had also except, a comedy group that, of course, back then I thought was hilarious. They were called the Uncalled For Three.
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know Clay had any talent.
They were modeled after the Marx Brothers, and I thought they were hilarious. He used to have them on quite a bit, but Chuck McCann, he would do, sometimes he'd do a short skit, or he would do a live commercial, and he'd do about anything. But he had a show on Sunday mornings called Let's Have Fun.
Oh, yeah, right.
And that was something that we never missed. And we'd come and I always remember the beginning because he would start out with and it was big boisterous. It's let's have fun, he says, and he would name the puppets as the host and hostess. He'd go, it's let's have fun with Lester and Mildred and Manny and Jose and Manny other.
Wow, I you're bringing that back to me. I don't remember that.
And then he'd go, and I'm Chuck McCann. And he'd be there and he'd have the puppets there. And Lester was a puppet. He wore a straw hat and he had a big nose, and Chuck would do all their voices. And he'd go, we're going to watch Abbott and Costello now. Hey Abbott. He'd make all the sounds. And sometimes, and with the puppets too, at times would do a skit where they're lip syncing, like, What a Day for a Daydream, the song by the Love and Spoonful. Mm-hmm. He'd have the puppets there would be lip syncing the song.
Right.
Or he would, there was a brief, newspaper strike. So what does he do? He dons the costumes of the, Sunday newspaper characters and he reads the comics. He's Dondi, Dick Tracy, Little Orphan Annie, Smiling Jack.
I remember when the New York newspapers went on strike, and back when they went on strike back in the 30s or early 40s or what have you. Remember the mayor would get
LaGuardia.
That was before there was television. But I remember with Chuck McCann doing that, and then continued to do it because he would do. He continued the story on Dick Tracy. Everybody was following Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
And he continued with all the characters. He even wrote songs. Remember the Moon Maid song?
Yeah, the Moon Maids.
I did that. Nobody knows what I'm doing when I suddenly just break into that somewhere. And everybody goes like, wow, what's wrong with him?
Yeah. And the thing was, I mean, he was so spontaneous. Sometimes a song would play. He'd get up and start dancing. In the costume. Terry and the Pirates. He would do Terry and the Pirates also.
Terry and the Pirates.
And he did all the comic. And he would actually, you would imagine the voices of these characters in the comics. He would do their voices.
Which is great because, they had little bubbles in the comics.
Right. But there was an expression that I learned from him that has stuck with me, which a lot of things do, by the way. Hey. But one particular thing, he would if he ever did a live commercial or like if it was for a Marx toy or something, he'd always say at the very end of it, yes siree, Bob.
You mean you got yes siree, Bob from him? Did we all get, where'd that originate? I've never associated that with him.
Okay. Researcher that I am, yes siree, Bob is an old colonial expression. Because back in colonial times, sometimes people couldn't pay. They would barter. If you went to a store or you bought something from someone and you handed them a coin, okay, they would normally take the coin, put it in their teeth to see it was real. Uh-huh. And the coin, of course, they had pence. And Bob was usually equivalent to a nickel.
Oh, okay.
They put the coin in their teeth and take it out and go, Yes, sirree, Bob.
Mm. You see, you're never too old to learn something.
And he said that all the time. And wow. I would say, what does that mean? Yes, sirree, Bob. Who's Bob?
Who's Bob? Yes, sirree, Bob.
And he would say, and he would, you know, he'd have his, the way his chin would come out, and he would, he'd say, yes, sirree, Bob.
His picture's on my blog for those of you who don't know it, but you could go to Google Images and put in Chuck McCann and you will get a ton of pictures to get an idea of, he was not, he was robust. He was not necessarily fat, but,
and he had a little bit of an underbite. So he had that, the way he spoke, you know, yes, sir, he was just, you couldn't miss the guy. He was just great. And you know, you loved him because you always figured he was your friend.
Yeah, he was definitely a pal, but I think that one of the reasons stuck out. It's a horrible phrase. One of the reasons he was, well, by comparison to the people that were hired for some of those children shows, just to be hosts, and because they happen to be hanging around or what have you, and they take on a character, that was their character. Like you mentioned Joe Bolton, Officer Joe Bolton. So it was like, you know, the cop is your friend, you know. McCarthy,
Captain Jack McCarthy.
Jack McCarthy.
He was a sea captain.
The, father of, Joey Heatherton.
Yes.
Who showed me her breasts once.
Yes, Ray Heatherton.
Ray Heatherton.
He was a mailman.
Yeah. He was the merry mailman. All right. He wasn't, wait a second. That's Ray Heatherton. I'm mixing him with Jack McCarthy. Jack McCarthy was the captain.
Captain, he was the host of the Popeye show.
Okay, and then we can go through them here now. Now Sandy Becker, a little bit more like Chuck because he did.
Yes.
What I'm trying to say is that most of those guys, including Claude Kirshner, we've talked about him before.
Oh yeah,
may he rest in peace. He can't possibly be alive, and if he is, he still cannot throw his voice. He's the worst ventriloquist in the world that did Terry Toon Circus. Which I haven't thought about until we started talking about this conversation. But I mean, they hired these guys and these guys were, I mean, I guess they were popular because they got some kind of ratings or what have you, but they didn't do anything else except be that character.
Well, here's the thing. And this is how they hired these guys. For instance, a lot of these guys work behind the scenes on the network.
Right.
Like, Joe Bolton, Bill Beery. Bill Beery was Beachcomber Bill.
Yeah.
And, They did right before midnight. They would do 5 minutes of the news. They would announce the news, and so they did some things behind the scenes. So it was almost as if, hey, you know what? We got a half hour to kill. Throw a T-shirt on that guy. Let him be somebody, and we'll show a few cartoons.
Yeah.
And like WPIX before Jack McCarthy, they had a guy, Captain Alan Swift.
Oh yes, you're right. I remember him.
And Captain Alan Swift, he always ended the Popeye show singing "Blow the Man Down" in like a baritone voice.
But Alan,
and he did voiceovers for almost all of the Jay Ward cartoons.
I was just going to say Alan Swift went on to be make quite a living as a voice.
Him, Paul Frees, and so these guys, they usually did something behind the scenes, and somebody said, hey, you know what? What did he just do? Oh, he read the news at 4:30. You know what? Throw a jacket on him. We need a host over here.
Sure. For all we know, Joe Bolton was a sound engineer or something. And they said, hey, Joe, you're the tallest one here. Put on this cop uniform because they had it somewhere, right? Get on there and tell kids something. You look like a nice guy. And that's how that stuff,
did make it. Make sure you tell the kids, you know, you shouldn't go up to your little brother and poke him in the eyes.
But Chuck was different.
Yes, he was. Chuck was, you know, I think that was his thing, you know, reach right out to the audience and he wasn't a behind the scenes guy. He started out that way kind of, but he wasn't behind the scenes and that was his thing. He also on Saturday mornings had a rock and roll show.
I don't remember that. at all.
Yeah, he did it. He was a rock and roll show. I think they had some, you know, some guests like the Knickerbockers and
that'd be the 60s.
John Andrea, you know, the guys that got tired of going on Dick Clark's show. I think Chuck McCann got them all. What are you doing this morning? I don't know. We just woke up. All right, come on, put your pants on and come over here, and you're gonna lip sync your song you did 5 years ago.
Sure, was always easy because they put the record on. Nobody ever played live.
Yeah, and he had a bunch of kids, and they would dance, and at the end they'd go, yeah, later on, one of our sponsors, we're gonna have the Chicken Delight come, and we're all gonna have Chicken Delight.
But Chuck still was different, and later on in life, I realized why he was different, because I saw him in various productions. He left New York. I don't know when. Do you have a date? Do you know when he left New York? Because he left New York to go to live in L.A.
And I believe he left New York in 1970.
That early? Okay. Okay, yeah. All right. I'll buy that. I mean, I left in 78. He was already there many, many years. 8, to be exact. Forget if we count him. But yeah, but I know he left because, he went on to, he knew there was more work there for voices. There was also work there for acting. And
yes.
He did indeed, get to do some acting. I don't know. And I've told this to many people in the past. I told them about the movie, The Heart is a Lonely Hunter.
Yes.
With Alan Arkin.
Yes.
Eventually, right? How wonderful Chuck was in that and how disappointed I was. And I imagine he was too. He was very proud of that.
Yes.
I know that because my only encounter with him, I mentioned it. And he was very happy. You could see it, you know, in his face. Now, recently, about a year before he died, there's a friend of mine who was on the show any number of times and who I've written some material for. He's a stand-up comedian, and he's based in California, but he grew up here, and that's how he met me, what have you. Anyway, he told me one day, he called me up one day, he says, you never guess who I ran into somewhere, because they're in comedy clubs or whatever, or a set somewhere. And he said, I went to Chuck McCann. And this kid is, he's in his 20s. So he, he knew. And I was always telling this kid, I'm always telling him, you know, go back, watch people from the, you know, don't, comedy didn't start with Adam Sandler, you know?
Yeah.
So, he chummed up with Chuck, and I got to talk to Chuck through him. Later on, and Chuck was so, and he said, this guy's incredibly friendly. He said, we hit it off. He invited me over his house, wherever he lived and whatever have you. And, you know, they met places and stuff. And I said, well, you know, I don't know if he remembers me because of all the people I met over and over and all the places I went where you can meet people. I saw, him in a DuPars is a place in Los Angeles in the valley and in the city.
Mm-hmm.
That it's known for pies and cakes and stuff, but great breakfast. It's known for its pancakes. Okay, you go in the morning, you have DuPars, and those of us who had some very late nights doing various things and staying up very late because DuPars was open 24 hours a day. I would go to the DuPars on I don't remember what the main boulevard drag there in the valley on my way back to Hollywood because I would hang out up there at certain clubs. And then I'd go back and I'd stop at DuPars and say, you know what, I'll have breakfast, then I'll go to sleep because I had time to do it then. And one time I'm sitting there and son of a bitch, I look over and this has happened a lot of times with me. It's how I met Tom Poston, by the way. Remember Tom Poston?
Oh, terrific. Yeah.
So, but anyway, I went, I'm looking, I'm going, oh, geez, is that, you know, and how did I never see him? But I noticed that is Chuck McCann, you know. So I was always very polite to people that I really admired and really thought something about. The other ones I didn't care about. I would just, you know. But anyway, he was wonderful. He was having pancakes, you know, as the sun went up. Or whatever he was eating, I don't know. Just mentioned some things that obviously people don't mention to him if they don't know enough about him. And a lot didn't, right?
Yeah.
He was in this place. I didn't see it. You know, it wasn't, people weren't lining up for autographs. So to mention The Heart is a Lonely Hunter, and that's why I bring this up, was wonderful. And I think very disappointing for him that that didn't lead to more, to other, I mean, he got a lot of other parts, but he never got a part.
Yeah, but and I can never understand that because he got, I mean, tremendous write-ups for that part.
He did. And if he was nominated he might have gotten a lot more work. But he didn't, you know, they just passed by him. But he did get work. He was constantly working. But I really thought that would be, the vehicle that would drive him into more, even serious work. Because we know just to see how well-rounded, and the fact that, you know, we know, you and I know this, we've talked about this too, the comedians do, you know, great dramatic stuff.
Yes.
And dramatic guys always want to do comedy, but but they don't do it as well as comedians do very serious stuff. that movie, I don't know where maybe it's on Netflix or you could put it or you can ask for it or put it on your queue or something.
It's out there.
And, and that was it. I mean, there was that cult film, The Projectionist.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there were a few other things here and there, and of course a lot of TV appearances.
Yeah, you know, he even turned up in an episode of Bonanza.
Yes, he got.
He wasn't the guest star, but he was, you know, one of the guys.
When I looked at the list when I went to wherever I went to find information about him, and you can get him on Wikipedia, friends, and I believe most of it is correct. Got to watch that Wikipedia, popped up in lots of sitcoms and drama shows. And
Adam 12, he was on that.
I
Dream a Genie. He turned up on I Dream a Genie.
Makes sense. It just makes sense because he was so durable and he had such a vast repertoire of characters he could do.
Yeah, and then everybody knew him as the right guard guy. How you doing, guy?
And the commercials, right. No, well, everybody knew him back then, but...
One shot and I'm good for the whole day.
He also, one of the commercials, he did another right guard. No, right guard? Was it right guard?
Wait. Yeah, it was the right guard, yeah.
But there was another, he did something else too. He did another product. I'm always shocked at how many people, that certain people like that, that I didn't, never, you know, ran into in working, you know? In a restaurant, yeah, and I never worked, was all over those things, and for all the times I ran into people on the sets and what have you, but I never ran into him, and I was always surprised at that because he was constantly working.
Just thank heaven he didn't turn up in the graveyard of the game show hosts.
Yeah, you can wind up like Mike Myers.
Yeah, Patrick Wayne.
Man. There's a curse to certain people who got those type of roles here and there. And then, I'm sure he auditioned for many things.
Yes.
And it would be wonderful to know. Maybe we could, you know, maybe I can get a hold of Sean, his son. I don't know where, but somehow I've done it before. And find out a little bit more about him in that respect.
Yes.
You know, right? Because
oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, even Sonny the cuckoo bird for the Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah, there's another commercial, right.
Yeah, he was the voice.
But I mean, there might be parts that he auditioned and didn't get.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, because I knew of a lot of people who did that kind of stuff. In fact, you know, I could tell, and I've talked to people on the audience about, you know, things that Wolfman auditioned for as an actor, but could not get because he was Wolfman Jack. And no matter what, they said they're just going to, we can't do it because they're going to see Wolfman Jack. So then he's stuck. And he shows up in these, you know, in the Odd Couple, and he's got a, who do you know, he's Wolfman Jack. You know,
he's Wolfman Jack.
You know, he can't be someone else.
Right.
And we tried that a couple of other times, and the main thing, but Chuck got that part. He got that part in The Heart is a Lonely Hunter.
Yes.
And I don't know why. I'd love to know what else he auditioned and didn't get, and what else, why didn't.
Yeah, what else was there? And you know? But you know, he scored a big one. He was on a popular show called All That Glitters.
I never saw that. I read about that. Where was that? What was that all about?
That was in the early 70s, and the premise was it was a woman's world. The women were the executives, and the husbands stayed home, and they were the homemakers.
Oh, okay. He was a regular on that.
He was a regular, yes. And he lasted lasted a couple of seasons.
Did.
And, he was a regular. And he, got a lot of play on that. And,
it didn't syndicate though, so nobody got any money. That one just went bye-bye. Oh my God, it was just gone. All That Glitters. Hey, remember All That Glitters? And the guy goes, no. And he's in the same generation. You have no idea. There are so many shows like that too. This is Cotolo Chronicles, and Brock LaRob is with me. And you can get Brock's books. He's written some fine fiction based on American history. You can get them at, right? They're all at Amazon, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
They're all at Amazon. And he goes by his pen name Tom Nocerino, N-O-C-E-R-I-N-O, right? You don't have any Brock LaRob books.
Not yet.
Not yet. Should come out with a Brock LaRob book.
I'm working on a couple of things, so that's also on the list.
Chuck should have a book. There's not even a lot written about Chuck.
I know, and that's that's something to think about, because like I said, he's just too talented to just say, well, you know, he just passed away. You know, it's interesting because when he did pass away, my brother sent me a text. Chuck McCann just died.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously Joe would know. He's going to know him. Yeah. That's how you found out.
Well, I'm a kind of a news hound. So I'm constantly checking the news, and, I just said, I think you knew that before I did, so he beat me to it.
I would, Bunko, you know, I forgot about Bunko Squad until I was going through YouTube, and.
Bunko Squad, yep.
even the thing that I played, did not have the impact it has when you see him and in character. That's why I'm, you know, tell everybody, you know, get over to YouTube and watch some of this stuff. The Bunko Squad, it's just, you know, sometimes things like that age in a different way. I'll give you a perfect example. Today, the oddest thing was, I don't know what station. I don't know. There's all these stations now playing everything they possibly can, right?
Yeah.
So there's a version of the Three Musketeers. A version, listen to this, it's something based on, you know, the Dumas, or Dumbass, as they call him, Alexander Dumbass, the Three Musketeers. But it's Don Amici plays D'Artagnan. And you know who are the Three Musketeers?
Oh, yeah.
The Ritz Brothers. Now, you tell people, now the Ritz Brothers really flew under the radar, okay? But I gotta tell you, and you know, they were always very strange in terms of, you know, by comparison with other, but today watching that, I said, I started to laugh at one point, and I went, this is the lamest comedy I've seen, you know, it doesn't age well, and yet it aged well in a different way. Where it might have been funny when they were restricted to whatever kind of comedy they could do back in those days, right?
Right.
And whoever they were, and let's face it, the rich, I don't know one rich brother from another. These guys look so much like one another. You don't know. But it was so stupid. It was funny. And it was because there's nothing like it now, you know?
No, absolutely not.
And so it was funny in a different way, even though someone now would look at it who had never seen it and would go like, that's just corn stuff. Yeah, you know, it's nothing.
That is just lame. But they were the roller skaters, and they roller skated in every movie.
I don't know if they roller skated in the Three Musketeers, but yes, they did. They were extremely acrobatic.
Yes.
Harry? Chester? No, I don't. One was Harry. Wasn't one Harry?
Well, Harry Ritz.
Harry Ritz.
The lone survivor.
One of the other ones. You know them? I don't know. There were.
Julius?
Know. Julius? No, Julius, no. Cracker Ritz. So let's get back to Chuck, who's, I'm sorry I never got Chuck on the show either, because one thing I'd really love to know would be his influences.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to go back to all these things we're talking about, all these characters and movies. And
I think his biggest influence was Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy.
Well, he did them. He imitated them great. And yes, but,
he also had the club, the Sons of the Desert. He was the founding, member.
Was he? He founded
the
club that was, named after a movie, for those of you who, there's people out there going, Lickle and Mocking? Who?
Hardy?
Hobble and Lelman? Lelman and Hutzman? Laurel and Hardy, I think. I think more people know Laurel and Hardy than know the Ritz Brothers, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
But, I would love to know, especially, and books too. I would love to know, what he read. And, he died, and he got sick, and he died so soon after the reconnection that I couldn't get back to him. And it's very difficult with somebody who doesn't, I kept telling my friend, tell him this, say this and say that and say this and say that. Tell him about this and that. You'll get on his good side, but,
What did I jot down? Oh, they also would show segments of Flash Gordon. And when he used to introduce Flash Gordon, he'd say, Dale Arden and Robert Middleton as Ming the Merciless and Larry Buster Crabbe as Crabbe. Flash Gordon.
now you people out there, we're talking about a serial before there was, in the chapters of, they did in the movies before there was TV and when there was still radio.
Right.
And they did Flash Gordon. Who, I don't know, I only know how to explain Flash Gordon to some young people.
He was I would say a rocketeer. His nemesis was Ming the Merciless, who was the king of, what was the name of the planet? Zoltar?
Yeah, something like that. But Ming the Merciless was, played again in that, remember they tried to reboot Flash Gordon in the 70s?
Yes.
I remember that guy was in it who was, pops up later in a Seth MacFarlane movie. But really, there's nothing. His whole life, he was horrible. But in that movie, that was, the famous Swedish actor played Ming the Merciless.
Max von Sydow.
Yeah, it was Max von Sydow played Ming the Merciless. And he looked, the funny thing about it is he looked more like Robert Middleton than, he did. It was like, wow, that's a phenomena. And, Mark Cousins' history of movies, he talks about how, there comes a certain point where filmmakers have been influenced by film, because the history of film has brought you, forward. And what they do is they're borrowing and stealing from their own influences.
Right.
Not from the court. Flash Gordon was a character. He was a comic strip. He was a comic book and a radio thing for years before. And,
yes.
So when they were doing the Flash Gordon and Ming the Merciless, they thought, Max von Sydow, they were thinking of Robert Middleton, not Ming the Merciless. that kind of stuff goes through the ages. And then they disappear completely when stuff goes as far from, vaudeville as it is today. But what else do you remember about Chuck? Yeah, wait a second, Little Orphan Annie.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
They would have the theme song, and then he would dress up like a little orphan Annie.
He had the white, he put white circles on his eyes. You couldn't see his eyes. It's coming back to me now. Little orphan Annie. Oh my God. I wonder if that song is anywhere here.
It's there.
Little orphan. Yeah, there is Chuck McCann. Little orphan Annie is on YouTube.
I think the Shirelles or the Dixie Cups sang that song.
He's Bunker Squad. Hey, what happened? Where'd it go? Little Orphan Annie, popular videos. I'm looking for it.
Yeah, Little Orphan Annie and her dog Sandy. They were orphans in the world.
How come it says Little Orphan Annie and then popular videos, Chuck McCann. Let me see. Little Orphan Annie is here. No, turn that off here. Here's Chuck McCann and Dick Van Dyke. Dick Van Dyke playing Stan Laurel.
Stan Laurel.
Yeah. The many voices.
They did a few things. Yes, Dick Van Dyke was Stan Laurel. That was actually a really good combination. They could have done stuff with that.
You know, we were wrong about one thing, boy, because here's a Howard Stern did a little tribute to him when he died. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
I didn't either. And I still want to punch Howard. I'm long story. Rare interview. Chuck McCann explains about. Okay, there's a ton of stuff on here, but I searched for Little Orphan Annie and I can't find it. But that was hilarious because he had the. I remember the white. I didn't know how he saw anything because he was jumping around.
Yeah, I think there might be two little holes punched in those circles. Oh, yeah. But he had the wig on and the red, it was in black and white, but you assumed it was a red dress.
And that was miles and miles before the play and anything. Oh, look, Chuck McCann's Let's Have Fun book party. What is that? Wow, book party. Celebrity Digs? Celebrity Digs with Chuck McCann. I wonder if you can hear. Let me ask you something. Maybe you could hear this. Hold on a second now. Wait. See if you could hear. Can you hear?
All right.
Do you hear that?
No.
You don't hear that. I don't understand. It comes out of the same speaker as you and it doesn't. There's a thing called Celebrity Digs and, it's another one of those videos. He must have done these videos. Celebrity Digs with Chuck McCann. Wow. Whew, tons of them. Anyway, so you could go.
He used to dance around too a little bit. You'd see him dance like in the Clay Cole show when they would play a song and, the kids are dancing. You'd see him in the background and he's dancing.
I wonder what the, you know, he's a Brooklynite, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Brooklyn, New York. His dad was a band leader from what I understand.
Yeah. Let me hit the Wikipedia. So there's some things I could, Wikipedia.
He ended every show, every Let's Have Fun singing, Put On a Happy Face from the movie Bye Bye Birdie. He sang that at the end of every Let's Have Fun.
See what you did? See what you did there? You said from the movie.
Yes.
Bye Bye Birdie.
Yes.
It's from the play that became a movie. It was a play. It was a musical.
I always think movie.
The movie,
first.
Right. You think of the movie first, right? Here's Wikipedia. So why can't I freaking find him? Here we go. Okay. Let me see if there's anything else here that we could talk about with Chuck, because later on, I lose him later on in terms of stuff that he's done, but this comes back. Like, you brought so much back to me. Chuck McCann. Here he is, Chuck McCann, American voice actor and comedian. Born in here, and there we go. Righty. Let's see your, I'm going to go late, 2000 to 2010. Let's look at that.
Wow.
Let's look at that and see, because here it is. 2000s, okay? See, there's a little stuff I don't know. You tell me if you know any of this stuff.
All right.
McCann appeared in They Call Him Sasquatch. And he was with, he was good friends with Tim Conway.
Yes, yes.
And Tim Conway did that dwarf thing, Dorf, when he played the guy.
Dorf.
And he supplied voices for, here's some more voices where you people might, the Powerpuff Girls and Mickey's Twice Upon a Christmas. It says citation needed. What does that mean? That means they have to, you have to have proof when you put something on Wikipedia? I don't know. He moved into the, oh, now this is what I thought might have happened. Because I'm thinking he must have done video game voices, right?
Yeah.
That had to be a huge amount, a huge part of his income later. Because
sure.
I mean, you know, and it says right here, he moved into the field of video games. Voices for True Crime New York City. Now, here's something I don't remember because I love a movie. Did you ever see The Aristocrats? Not The Aristocats. The Aristocrats to a it's a movie.
You know what? I know I never did.
You have to see this movie. You have to see this movie. And everyone out there, I've talked about it before. You have to see this movie. It's a documentary about a joke that comedians tell other comedians. It's a joke that it's our filthiest joke ever. And comedians try to out filth each other. Okay. With it. And it is a terrific documentary. And really, you just cannot stop laughing. And I don't know, I could give you a version of the thing, the Aristocrats is a joke. And the punchline means nothing. It's how filthy you make it to build up to it.
Okay.
And what this is just different comedians telling these filthy jokes. It's the version by George Carlin, the version by Bob Saget, a version by tons of people on there, right? Well, it says here he made, and I don't remember Chuck McCann being in this movie, but it says here he made an appearance in The Aristocrats with an animated rendition of a clean version of the joke, which I don't know how that, I got to go back and get the Aristocrats. And here's what's funny. Also, here's what's funny. There's nothing funny about it. That's the punchline. The punchline of this joke is The Aristocrats. And I fell upon this by hanging out with comedians and stuff and realizing like this was a comedian's joke. It was one one comedian tells another comedian. Hard to describe, but definitely incredibly funny. And it's a wonderful a friend of mine who has since passed away, a guy named Alan Kirschenbaum, who created some shows like Coach and various other things. Alan's in it, and he talks about it too. And some other people talk about it. They don't tell. And then they cut to, so they have these narrators, and it cuts to people telling these jokes. And I'm telling you, you got to have oxygen when you really do, Brock. You have to get that. It's a warning, you know, you don't want to play it when kids are around, but you've got to get this. It is essential. Anyway, so I didn't know that, but I'm going to now see it again. But listen to this. Here's another one. In 2006, 2007, he made appearances on The Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd. He played Dr. Floyd's father. He played Benjamin Franklin. And Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd is a short audio and video series distributed via podcasting.
Oh, wow.
It's a family friendly show in the style of old time radio. It draws much inspiration from the Rocky and Bullwinkle show. That's 2006 to 2007. This is how he was paying the rent.
Yeah.
He was many appearances as a judge in Boston Legal.
I remember he turned up in that. Yeah.
I know people who like that show a lot. I didn't watch it, but apparently, yeah. And he's in, random cartoons. Okay. 2013, he voiced Mosif Mo Maestro Giovanni on an episode of Adventure Time. Do you know that?
Adventure Time.
Yeah. You don't know that. I don't know that.
Sounds like something I would have made up.
Adventure Time. He was Mayor Grafton on the Garfield Show.
Okay, he had a cartoon.
And he reprised Duckworth, Bouncer Beagle, and Burger Beagle in DuckTales Remastered. Now, he reprised his role as the Amoeba Boys in the 2016 reboot of the Powerpuff Girls. And he recorded a comedy podcast. He recorded a comedy podcast program, Trump, The Last Family.
Holy jeez.
How about that? Because you remember, and I know people probably don't remember the very famous The First Family record album, which was a
yes.
John F. Kennedy.
That was Vaughn Meter.
A modern send-up of The First Family. Wow, I would love to get a hold of that one. That's got to be around somewhere. I gotta write some of this crap down. And I look at this here first. Let's see, McCann. We could get some McCann. The Last Family. That's gotta be terrific. And then it says, born in Brooklyn, New York. You were right. To band leader, singer, father. Someone. He was a close friend of Hugh Hefner at the Playboy Mansion.
A regular. He's familiar with that also, yeah.
Yeah. And it was congestive heart failure, and he died. He was in the hospital at Cedars-Sinai. We all know that if we live out there. And I guess he was married. Never met Betty Fanning. Two daughters, maybe his son, Sean. Oh, God, listen to this. Here I am talking, maybe I could get Sean on the show. Oh, wow, I did not research. His son, Sean, died in 2009.
If you ever got him on the show, you'd have so many listeners, you wouldn't know what to do.
I wouldn't know it. They don't know that much about him. And then there's I did not know that. We don't know anything about Sean, but wow, that's a shame. Well, I was on before that, but never thought of having him on. And here's Nate, if you go there, there's an entire list of everything he's done. I guess he's on a movie, the database. He's on probably on a, internet.
Oh yeah, he's got to be on the internet movie database. Yeah. He has to be.
Look at all this stuff. He's Iron Man, Fantastic Four. These are things he has done. He was Pac-Man. Pac-Man was a
Bob.
Was a show. Yes, Siri Bob. And I played some stuff there. But anyway, there. Look at that. External links. Oh, here he is on IDBM. Chuck me in on IGBM. Let's see if I could just click over to that and see if there's stuff you guys can go over to that. Here you go. Third generation performer. Son of singing band leader. Born, began his career as a child actor on radio.
Hmm.
By 19, he was on the Steve Allen Show in 1951.
Wow.
Huh?
See, that's big time.
Yeah.
With all those guys, I was just talking to my brother about that. And all the guys that were on a Steve Allen Show.
I don't remember him. He was in some Mel Brooks, but he was in Dracula, Dead and Loving It. I don't remember seeing him in that.
I don't either. You know? When I was thinking about that, and I said, wait a minute. And I was going down the line, and I said, wait a minute. I don't remember him being in that.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes when we see these things, or we see them on television, they're cut up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Meteor. Try to find me in Meteor, the movie with Sean Connery. Try to find me. I dare. We joke about that a lot. Try to find me, right? You know, because on any very. I think somebody actually said that it was on some cable show. They said they thought they saw me there, because you know the parts that they cut out. They cut them for time. Even now, you know. So there's a lot of versions of stuff. So there's tons of things here. Actor, 164 credits. Let's see if there's anything we have. Videos, TV movies, Citizen Jane. Here's all the Boston Legals. Spider-Man video game.
Wow.
True Crime. Mickey. Okay, that's the Powerpuff. A lot of Powerpuff Girls. Who did he play? A guy. Obviously, he played one of the Powerpuff. He was in Mad About You. He played the Mets catcher. A catcher for the New York Mets on Mad About You? Now I'm going to be looking.
It's like, William Frawley is the manager of the Yankees.
Yeah.
In,
you know, I'm gonna be watching, you know, finding these things like here and there just to try to find him.
The catcher for the Mets
in an episode called "The Second Mrs. Buckman." Wow. TV miniseries Invasion. Never heard of that. Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He was the repairman. wow, this is now in the 90s. So that's all.
I can picture him in a gray jumpsuit.
Wow. And then, see, there's not a lot of movies. Let me go back. Let me see if there's something we don't know. If we go back to, when was the Heart is a Lonely Hunter? Is that 70s?
No, I think that was 67.
60. You're kidding. You're kidding. Let's see. Here, let's go back to 60. 59, 59. Let's see. Here it is. The Heart of a Lonely... Oh, wow. Can you do you remember his character's name?
I know.
Spiros Antonopoulos. Spiros Antonopoulos. Okay, now that's the movie. And then he was a mute in that.
Yeah, he was a mute, yeah.
And he doesn't make another movie after that until The Projectionist. 71. So 68. You were right. 68. And then he doesn't, and then let's see, are there any other movies? No, then you're right. He was Bonanza. That's 72. I don't see any. Play It As It Lays. Is that a movie? There's a movie.
I believe it, yeah.
He was on the Bob Newhart Show. Columbo. I don't see any movies though. Look at this. Herbie Rides Again. That must have been a cartoon. Oh no, that was a movie, was it?
No, that was a movie, yeah.
But certainly not anything.
But you know
serious,
what? He keeps working.
Oh yeah. He, there was a movie called Linda Lovelace for President. Did you know?
Yeah, he was in that. Yes, I was going to mention that.
Alfredo Fettuccini. He was in Silent Movie. He was in, there's another Mel Brooks movie. He was, check it out, The Studio Gate Guard. And this brings up something we also talked about. We did a whole show once on actors you know but you don't know.
Right. Yes.
And Chuck would obviously fall, being in so many of these as a bit part here and there.
Oh, definitely.
And in character somehow. There are so many actors who wind up in that. I mean, they make a living in that.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Category.
Yeah, I'll give you one right off the top of my head. Percy Hilton.
See? You say the name and they go, what? And yeah. You go, where? Who? Tell me, Percy, where?
What do Percy I know? Hilton, he looked like a little squirrel. He had a voice like that. And he would turn up in The Adventures of Superman and the movie The Robe. And he would always have two or three lines, but he was a little short guy with, he was always squirrely looking.
Only people like this could show up in something so different. You said he'd show up. He was in, what was the first thing you mentioned?
The Adventures of Superman.
And The Robe. You said, think about that. These people, and there are still, I don't know how many of them there are anymore. You know, there were people just constantly, in those, playing those roles. And people would know them. Like, I don't know that guy, you know, but they didn't know the name and they never stayed long enough to watch the credits.
Fortunio Bonanova. He's another one of those guys. Shows up everywhere.
Fortunio. You know, my dad loved some of those guys. And that's how I got to know some of those guys.
Right.
It just flew by me now. Because I had mentioned it before. I don't know how many times I had mentioned it. This character actor. We'll go back to the 40s. But when the names go away. And I've introduced these actors to people. Eugene, what's his last name? Eugene Paulette.
Eugene Paulette.
He had a early voice like that.
Eugene Paulette. And, a couple of weeks ago, they showed the complete Mark of Zorro.
Yes, I watched it.
Did you see that?
Again.
Beautiful print. And it was, you know, every bad or corny part was in it. They just right through. And I was telling my son, I said, you got to watch this guy. I said, you know, your grandfather used to love this guy. He used to show up all the time. But the guy never I don't think he starred in anything, you know?
No. By the way, Fortunio Bonanova is in that movie.
Now, I know if I see him, I'm going to go, oh, him.
Now, he was always either the music conductor or actually in the Marco Zorro, he was one of the Spanish soldiers that said, he said, Senor, I think he's dead.
We know his line. That's great. You know his line. Yeah. And then you'd see him as in any other number of,
another guy, Barton McLean.
Barton McLean, though, didn't he eventually star in some B movies or something?
He starred in a TV show that was on for about 20 minutes. He played the general in I Dream a Genie.
okay, that's a regular role. But that's a side role.
But this is later on. I mean, in the 30s, he would always pop. He was always a bad guy. And you always had your bad. Frank Phelan always turned up with two or three lines. He was later Dobie Gillis's father in the Lives and Loves of Dobie Gillis. But he always turned up. He always had one or two lines. You see, those guys always worked. Didn't care.
Dobie's father, the guy who played Dobie's father,
Frank Phelan.
Frank Phelan was one of those guys.
Yes, Frank Phelan.
He's in tons of 50s and 60s movies running around.
He turns up. He's a bookmaker. He works in a store. Somebody's friend. He's a truck driver in the background.
But try to find a Frank Phelan film festival, which would be hard enough to say, no less to go to. You won't find it. Frank Phelan. And, there were many of them, in the show I did, and still around, but they get more. They don't get as many parts because of there's not that many movies anymore by comparison.
These guys were
contract guys, and they'd shove them into parts so that they didn't have to go out and hire anyone else. Yeah.
Supposedly, G. Lockhart holds the record for the most film appearances in the history of film.
Really.
Yeah, he appeared sometimes in 5 movies in one day.
That's right, he'd just go from set to set.
Yeah, he'd go from set to set, and sometimes he'd have a line. He'd memorize it so fast that he did a scene. Sometimes he had 3 lines. Sometimes he would just stand up and say, I disagree with that, and, get him off. He's going to another movie. He holds the record for being in the most films.
I wish I had a nickel for every time I watched a movie with someone and they went, "Don't I do that guy?" You know, that guy. These poor people. You know, this is why they don't get stars on the street. Imagine what. Although there were, I remember going walking down the not the first time, but I remember many times I would walk down the street with somebody who came into town, and they'd go, "Who's that? Who's that? You see a name. Who's that?" You know? And they were popular. I mean, these people, Frank Phelan doesn't have a star, and neither does, I almost had his name. Oh, you'll know this guy too. Who always played the hotel clerk? Franklin Pangborn. We got it at the same time. It came to me just as you said it. Franklin Pangborn. My father. I don't know. It was like, so, this proves that these people, and there were women too, they had fans.
Oh, yeah.
Franklin. And even he didn't know. There's that guy. Yeah, and then, I'd find out or whatever. That's Franklin Pangborn. The next time you see him, you go, oh, there's a Fricknard, Fricknard, what was his name? Fricknard.
Yeah, Franklin Pangborn either had like a bucket of water on his head or the ink would shoot out of the pen if they were writing. So he was the foil. Something always happened to him. There was an actor similar to Franklin Pangborn that he was in a few W.C. Fields movies, but he turns up everywhere. His name will come to me. I got him pictured. sometimes it's, I don't know why this happens, but like Noah Beery, if there's a Western, yeah. Noah Beery Jr. is in it.
Now that, yeah. And, yes, yes. And his father was a major, star. I mean, Noah yes. Beery Sr. So that was no Mike Lon Chaney. Who,
and he never took off that blue uniform, that cavalry uniform. He every Randolph Scott movie, he's in there.
Noah Beery Jr. Yeah.
Yeah, he's in there. He turns up everywhere. It's another guy, and I think everybody knows him if they see his face. Leo Gordon.
Leo Gordon?
Leo Gordon is.
I mean, obviously, I don't know the name. I know
he's a bad guy. One afternoon we're watching The Man Who Knew Too Much with James Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
right. Leo Gordon doesn't have any lines, but he's the chauffeur in France.
Wow.
I just said, I'm watching this thing. I didn't say a word for an hour and a half, and I went, that's Leo Gordon.
They all got some kind of credit in those days, though. They got credit at the end.
Right.
Leo Gordon. See how many? Now, Chuck, he didn't do, there wasn't enough of that, it wasn't enough activity to even put him in that place, but someone might, you know, because there weren't that many movies, which I think is why.
Yeah, he could have done more, because the guy was so talented.
Which is why he's so unrecognizable to people outside of New Yorker at that time.
You see, as kids, we thought he was the greatest, you know, because like, he was so appealing, and he was just very, funny, even when he wasn't funny.
Because he had the ability, unlike the other guys and the guys who were just hosts or the guys that they threw from the, you know, like we said before, they just put on to announce things and whatever.
Yeah, like Sonny Fox.
Yeah, oh gosh, yeah, what did he ever do? You know, he couldn't do anything, Chuck. Could he?
He had no screen presence. No. You couldn't relate to that guy.
Chuck McCann filled a stage. That's what was great about him. And in a very, almost in a Jonathan Winters type way, you could give him anything. And he
very similar.
Right. And he would make a character and a joke out of it, because he was, highly trained. And that's what makes a great actor. And I'm really.
The actor I was thinking of was Grady Sutton.
See? The names. I hope you people are writing these names down because you can go later. And I guarantee you, if you go to Google Image or something, you will find pictures of these people.
Yeah, pictures are coming up.
Yeah. And then you'll go, oh, that person, especially if people watch. See, I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know the demographic of some of these. You know, they have MeTV and.
Oh, they got all this stuff. Inspiration TV.
But the ones that are playing the drama and the comedy sitcoms from the 50s and 60s, that audience has got to be baby boomers and right before. Kids are not watching that. Are they?
No, because they have their heads down in their phones.
Well, you know, I mean, there are certain ones that, you know, you do look for a phone. There's certain ones. But I mean, even you have to tell people, you have to say, look, watch this, and, you know, because I still can't watch. I'm sorry. I can watch Andy Griffith in A Face in the Crowd. I could watch him in No Time for Sorrow. I could watch him as an actor. But when it comes to that show, I feel like if I watch that show for 5 minutes, I go, I'm never getting that 5 minutes back in my life. It's horrible. It's just horrible. It doesn't it doesn't pass the test of time. So there are plenty of them on there. And you know, they'll show anything. You know what? You know another real bombo? I didn't like it when it was a Hazel.
Oh, brother.
This is an Academy Award winning actress. She's terrific. And then they give her this comic strip character. They make it. And, this, that's, and there's another actor there. Another one of those guys.
Don DeFore.
Yeah, Don DeFore. He pops up just everywhere. And then he's in some of these noir movies.
He's always in those movies made during World War II where he's the buddy that came. Right? He's on furlough.
Right.
And he doesn't get the girl anyway.
Have you mentioning, even though we strayed a bit, it doesn't matter because have you seen Bryan Cranston in Trumbo?
Yes, I have.
Okay, God. I mean, I've been telling everyone, see this movie. It's important, and he is just so wonderful. I don't know who I didn't look up who he lost to that year of as an Oscar. But you see, this is the difference. You get a guy who played the dentist on Seinfeld episodes.
Yes.
And then a couple of, you know, what, how many years later, he's nominated for Academy Award. He also did a great job as Lyndon Johnson.
Yes. He's played Lyndon Johnson twice, actually.
Did he play him after All the Way?
There was another movie that he was Lyndon Johnson.
But Trumbo, you know, has major importance. And certainly in this period of, you know, where we're dealing with people in power who say, like, well, if you don't write nice about me, get out of here. So
Trumbo was a very, very interesting movie.
Wonderful to be able to understand that time in history. But
yes.
But Bryan Cranston, but I'm just bringing it up. It's like he could have just wound up, you know, as the guy who was in Malcolm in the Middle. He was, you know, he was fine, but he's well-rounded. Who'd have thunk? You know, here's a guy who was just one of the guys we're talking about.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, exactly.
Next thing you know, he's going to the Academy Awards because he's nominated. That's a huge and rare jump.
Yes.
You know?
Very much.
Art Carney did it, but and he won.
Tom Hanks did it.
Tom Hanks did it, absolutely. Not much to the chagrin of well, you don't want to mention that's a thistle. I got stories. Who wants to hear them? I don't know. But anyway, I always think of Tom Hanks with come on, what was his name? How could I forget his name? He wanted to kill
Peter
me.
Peter Scolari.
Yeah, Peter Scolari wanted to kill me. But that's a long story. But you know, you think of Peter Scolari and him coming from the same sitcom.
Yes.
And how they just go completely different paths. You see what happens. But that's not what we're talking about. A lot of good talent doesn't get the chance to. Why are you laughing about Peter Scolari? I couldn't even remember his name. I know he doesn't want to know mine anymore. That's for sure. Those stories, I know people keep saying, tell those stories. I don't tell. I'm not a kiss and tell guy. I tell people
on
the side.
You could probably answer this, not to get off the beaten path.
But? we're almost done anyway. What?
Why do people have high school reunions?
Oh, have you heard about that?
Yes, I have.
I've been asked by a number of people who got in touch with me. I don't even want to go to, I don't even go to Facebook as much. I don't really go there anymore other than to put up, you know, promos and stuff. I never went there to do that. That's all I ever went to do that anyway. And I was, you know, but they found
me. If he's listening, the name on the top of that list is Victor Goodstone.
Oh yeah, he's championing. It's a hard word to say. He's championing this.
Yes,
isn't he? I heard from a number of people, and I no, there's no way. There's no way. I don't understand. Why are they doing that? I don't know.
Why does anybody do it?
That's a good question.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Yeah.
What have you been doing the last 50 years?
Yeah.
Nothing.
You know what's amazing is like to what you just said. It's like you're asking, what have you been doing? And you don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and some of them are going to say things because, you know, some of them are going to say things that are is so absolutely normal and not fit to have a conversation. Oh, I have a company that hires out electricians. So you were an electrician? Yeah. Well, what was that like? Do I get shocked? Do I get your fingers? What do you say? I don't know. I really don't know why anyone has any kind of reunion. to be honest with you. Why does anyone want to get together again after they committed to not being together?
Right.
It's absurd, so I can't answer. For those of you who are listening going, what are you talking about? There's a school, a high school that Mr. Brock and myself attended, and I was in the original class, and you were one behind me, or you were one behind me?
No, I was a full two? Four behind you.
How, really? That much? Yeah. Really, that far?
Yeah, you were the first graduating class of that dump.
Right, I was, right, your brother was in my, my,
right.
Yeah, we're talking about
Franklin
Delano Roosevelt. Dom Simi and I had a hell of a laugh about that reunion.
Is he invited? Is Dom invited?
Well, him and I, he called me up and it was funny because when he called me up, asking me how I was getting there and stuff. And I knew, you know, he's like, yeah, you gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me. Funny stuff. I did talk. Yeah. I don't know. And I wish them all happy reunion time. What do you do? Happy reunion time?
Yeah, so you're going to have a salami sandwich and a bottle of beer and say, well, it was good seeing you. I'll see you in another 50 years.
I doubt it. And I wouldn't even want to, there's guys who became teachers?
Yes.
Yeah, we've strayed from our days of Chuck McCann to high school to,
yes.
But we could go back and listen to this. Even Chuck moved on. You know?
Yes, he did. He sure did.
Anyway, there's something a lot of people haven't done, but on YouTube, you could see Chuck McCann stuff. Go there, and on Amazon, under the name of N-O-C-E-R-I-N-O, T is the first name. Tom's yes. books, you can get them and read them. They're exciting.
Lamplight and Gray Court. They're doing well.
Very good. And he will appear here again sometime.
Yes.
You're going back to the Midwest soon?
No, we're here permanently in the Sunshine State.
Oh. You're in Florida?
Yes.
Ah, wow. Well, say hello to Dom Simi for me. He's down there.
Where is he down here?
Yeah, where is he? He's somewhere. I don't know those places. Anyway.
I got to get him on Facebook.
Yeah, get him there and you could find him. And then you just ask him, hey, will I see you at the reunion? Listen. Okay, look, thanks again for being on and getting
thanks so much, nervous. Frank. Everybody out there, again, thanks so much. You guys are great. Frank, you're the best as always.
Thank you.
And I hope to be on soon again, too, when I got things straightened out, which took a little while, but everything is good. I hope to be on soon, and you're the best as always. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I don't deserve that, but I'll take it. Thank you, and and good night to you.
Yes, sirree, Bob.
Okay, yes, sirree, Bob. Take it easy, man.
Take it easy.
And there he goes. So very soon, it's time for... Is it time for this already? It must be. It's looking like time for that. Yes, it is. Wow. Yes, sirree, Bob. Even with the subjects, I consider myself well versed in certain subjects, like Chuck McCann. It takes a person like Brock LaRobe, Tom Nocerino, to be able to. I forgot to tell him about Crunchy Wunchies. I'll talk to him and tell him about that later. In the meantime, in between time, you take care of yourself. Coming up. For those of you on the live stream or on stations where Savino Veritas follows me, Tom's coming up. I'm going to send the signal over to him. In the meantime, good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you may be located. We'll be back again. Look at the blog. Send in your fcatolo@yahoo.com requests. And everything goes okay. We'll be here with or without a guest or with me and pieces of the show you want to hear again. I think I've said it all, so I'll leave you now because I have nothing more to say.